Welcome to Our PBC Life, a safe place for all to tune in and enjoy. We hope that today's sermon inspires and encourages you. You can stay connected with us on our social media at MyPBCLife or through our website at pbclife.ca. Be blessed and enjoy.
Well, praise the Lord. As we continue today in the Word of God, our series is Rebuilding for the Next Generation. We're going through the book of Nehemiah. We welcome those online from around the world. We know we have people down in the U.S. and California. We have regulars that watch, and we hail you today down in Trinidad and just all across. And just tell us in the chat where you're watching us live stream from. And we just want to honor and thank God for you. And then our messages go out online onto trinitybroadcast.tv in Singapore. And they stream around the world to just, I think, over 120-something nations. And so God is just using us to be a part of the greater body of Christ as we spread the gospel to the ends of the earth. And so I give God thanks for the privileges we have. Technology can be our destroyer, but we also, living in the world of technology, we must use it for greater good. Amen? Praise be to God. Well, rebuilding for the next generation. Today, my title is Rebuilding Together in Faith, and We'll Seek Favor. In faith, seek favor. Last week, I preached from Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 1 to 6, which showed us how our work ethics will make room for us. Our work ethics will make room for us. And very important that I add this reminder, because as we talk about seeking favor, we'll jump on it. But if our work ethics is not good, don't even bother trying to ask God to add favor to bad work ethics. And so even the ungodly know when our work ethics is righteous. It shows in every way, first in our attitude and then in our disposition. And in the book of Nehemiah last week, as I shared, he was distressed and the king could notice it because they knew what he always looked like. He had the glow of God upon his face. And that's what we need. We need to be carrying the presence of God with us wheresoever we go. And sometimes we have this false look for sympathy. It's a dangerous path to take. Do you know, if you're always trying to get sympathy, people read you well, but after a while they just avoid you. So I just want to remind us today, as children of God, we get to live at a higher level to set a standard that the world no longer knows how to live at that standard. And part of it that I shared last week, let me just do a recap here. What does it take to carry a burden for your nation so that your nation will be transformed? It takes attention. I begin to see what's wrong. It takes interest. I sincerely care about what's wrong. It takes desire. I choose to do something within the realm that I can accomplish it. I choose to do something I know I can do. It takes conviction, which means I will not just look at it, but I'll move from sight to action. And then it takes commitment. Commitment says, I'm not just in it for a moment, I'm in it for a lifetime. I'm in it till Jesus comes. Are you in this journey with Christ till Jesus comes? Amen. Praise God. So now the unmentioned portion of the passage in chapter 2 is a very integral part of the story. And the reason I split it last week and I didn't do from verse 7 is because it's such a powerful message, I didn't want to gloss over it. So this is where Nehemiah's story continues as he stands before the king and he makes this very unusual request. So he spoke to the king, but in his speech he had to have a faith that would transfer to the king receiving his request. And before he did this, and I shared it at the end of the message, he prayed. We've got to be praying before we seek for big things or even small things. And so this is the lesson today. Desperately seek God in faith when you're looking for favor. Can I say that again? Desperately seek God, what? In faith, when you're looking for favor. There are people, I wish I could get favor. Yeah, well, how do you want it to come? It's not something in a box. Seek God in faith for favor. Hebrews 11, 1-2 says what? Faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. Through their faith, the people in the days of old earned a good reputation. And it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to Him must believe that God exists and that He does what? He rewards those who sincerely seek Him. So folks, let us embark now on this journey of faith with Nehemiah and let our faith increase. Let's look at what genuine faith can do even when there's a little bit of fear inside. See, God knows the reality of us as humans. He created us. That there are times there's a little bit of trepidation, but we push beyond it. So allow me to remind you of Nehemiah 2, verse 4. Let me read the passage so I can jump into the next passage. The king asked me, "Why are you looking so sad? You don't look sick to me. You must be deeply troubled." Then he says this part, which I wanted to share with you. "Then I was terrified, but I replied, 'Long live the king! How can I not be sad? For the city of my ancestors are buried in ruins. The gates have been destroyed.' And the king says, 'How can I help you?' 'With a prayer to the God of heaven,' I replied." I like this part where it says, "I was terrified." You know why I love my God? Why I love worshiping God and reading His word? Everything we could ever go through is in the Word of God. Nothing is hidden. Everything is written to show us the reality of who we are as humans. Nehemiah says, "I was terrified, but I prayed to God." Folks, there are times when you're like, "I'm a Christian. I should look like constantly in glory." Come on. Really? Who are you? Even Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane says, "Lord, if it be your will, remove this cup from me." There's a moments in our lives when we have this crisis or a faith. But when you have a crisis of faith, you don't give up your faith. Can I say that again? When you have a crisis of faith, it's normal, but you don't give up your faith. You pray and push beyond it. Why? Because faith ignores fear. Somebody tweet that. Faith ignores fear. Sometimes, no, don't tweet. We don't go on Twitter. Okay, remember that's X. Get rid of that. Instagram that. Online, I'm serious. Get rid of Twitter. All of you, get rid of it. You don't need it. Stay with the things that will help you and don't advance the ones who are destructive to the kingdom of God. I thought so. I thought that was worth an applause. But sometimes we behave as if we are terrified of God while we place our trust in humans who are untrustworthy and unfaithful. Do you know there's a default in many people where they put their trust in this person, or I believe they can do it, or if I go to them, but we don't go to God. Nehemiah had a good reason why he was afraid. In those ancient days, if the king was displeased with your answer, you could be killed instantaneously. Thank God we don't live in those days. I tell you right now, folks, as I was writing this, I thought, if I lived in those days, I'd be dead a long time ago. Because, you know, I just say what I think, and the king would be like, "Off with her head." It was a detriment, a great detriment to Nehemiah for the king to identify his sad countenance, because royal officials, workers of the king back then, were never allowed to show negative emotion in the king's presence, or else his wrath would be unleashed. So quickly thinking, Nehemiah respectfully responded by first addressing the high position of the king. "Long live the king. That's when you're trying to find a quick word of, okay. You know, when you have fear, you start off just speak truth or speak something, speak positive. So he's like, okay, I got to talk to God. Long live the king. Then it came to him what to say, and he began with his explanation, and he did it calmly, and he did it respectfully while he prayed quickly. And folks, here's a key thing, especially if it's your disposition. Rashness and ignorance does not solve problems. It only creates more. Rashness and ignorance does not solve problems. If you are rash in the way you speak or do things, then repent. Apologize. Who am I talking to? I'm a quick thinker. I'm a fast mover. And sometimes, and again, I've told you many times, sometimes there's like so many things going on in my head. Boom, 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 boom. And I may be thinking something and then I respond to someone. My staff will tell you, I'll come back and say, you know, I didn't mean to say that so rashly. I was thinking of something else. And so it's okay to apologize. It's okay to even check in to see if there was an offense. It's okay to remove the rashness and not carry it any further. Sometimes we're rash in what we do, and then we want to protect ourselves. So what do? We build a wall around us, and we bring people inside so that we can feel comfortable that I didn't do anything wrong. Listen, folks, if we have done something wrong, then ask God to help us fix it. Why are we going to ask him to help us fix it? Because we want favor from God at all times. So here's what happened. As Nehemiah recognized, the king just noticed my disposition, which he doesn't like. He lifted up the king. Long live the king. Now, king, can I ask for some? And once, you see what happened? He changed the spirit of the king by the way he responded. Are you with me this morning? So he asked to be dismissed for a season. But then he went further in faith to ask for some things that are absolutely needed. See, when you do everything right, you can push further in faith. So here now is our text today in rebuilding together in faith as we seek favor. Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 7 to 10. Nehemiah chapter 2, I also, that's the part you can underline, I also said to the king, if it please the king, let me have letters addressed to the governors of the province west of the Euphrates River, instructing them to let me travel safely through their territories on my way to Judah. And please give me a letter addressed to Asaph, the manager of the king's forest, instructing him to give me timber. I will need it to make beams for the gates of the temple fortress, for the city walls, and for a house for myself. And the king granted these requests because the gracious hand of God was upon me. See why I had to share the other prerequisites before? Because what do we want? We want the gracious hand of God to be upon. Anybody here want the gracious hand of God to be upon you? When I came to the governors of the province west of the Euphrates River, I delivered the king's letters to them. The king, this is powerful, the king, I should add, had sent along army officers and horsemen to protect me. Verse 10, but when Sanballat the Horonite, Tobiah the Ammonite official heard of my arrival, they were very displeased that someone had come to help the people of Israel. Faith and favor walk hand in hand. Faith and favor walk hand in hand. So the three segments I want to share here today in this message. First segment is Nehemiah's bold request was granted because of his devoted lifestyle and also because of favor from the king. But first and foremost, it's because he sought favor from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Don't seek favor from people when you haven't sought favor from God. Second segment, Nehemiah's request and requirement had a military component to it. Therefore, wisdom was needed. And for those who are new and those that are online, we just went through the whole wisdom series teaching through the book of Proverbs. It is online right here on PPC's website or on trinitybroadcast.tv. It's not there yet, but you have it on ours first, so get it here. Leah will appreciate my plug there. The third segment, Nehemiah is met first with a level of opposition, and this is where the rubber hits the road and faith has to increase. So I want to just remind us today, if we want to abide in God's favor, then we must seek the essential things first, not the superficial. We must seek the essential things first, not the superficial. So let me point this out in this message. I love this text. He says, I also said to the king, if it please the king, let me have letters addressed to the governors of the province. So he asked the king, first request, that was last week's message, would you allow me to leave for a season? And let me point out, at the end of this, you're going to see, he says, I'm going to go build a house. So he was asking for how much of a season? A long season. That's like you taking a sabbatical. Okay, they say a sabbatical is 6 months, or a sabbatical is 3 months, or a sabbatical is maximum a year. He's asking for a long time because he's got to travel for a couple of months and then go build a house by hand. So he was really pushing the button here, leaving the king open to people even killing the king while he's gone. But the favor of God was with him. So now he says, I'm asking for something else, God. I'm asking for king. I'm asking for letters addressed to the governors of the province. I need to travel safely through their territories. He's thinking in wisdom, what is really required here? And then he says, can I also have letters addressed to Asaph, the manager of the king's forest, to give me timber? I need it for the gates of the temple. I need it for the city walls. I need it for my house. Oh, come on, king, give me all of this. I gotta go. I'm abandoning you, but I need you to release me and bless me as I go. Don't you know? Do you know where he gets his mandate from? When the children of Israel were in bondage and God was about to release them, he says, go to all the heathens and collect all the silver and gold plates. You're not leaving here empty-handed after your bondage. You've been in bondage to the enemy. When God sets you out, step out in faith and expect that God's going to bless you. You're not going out empty-handed. But here's a key. Nehemiah could have asked for many material things to show off to others in Jerusalem how well he had done in Persia. Remember, the ones in Jerusalem were the Jews, the Israelites who stayed there during the rampage and the war and the devastation, and they stuck it out. Now they were totally impoverished, but he now was working for the king of Persia, the nation that had held them captive. So he could say, let me go and show them who I am. Yes, I was in Persia, but I'm better than all of them. I did well. Let me impress them with my prestige. But Nehemiah did not do that, because people's favor will only last for a little while. But when people want to see who you are in Christ and God, not what you have materially. And there is a swing around the world because we've bought into the ideology of worldliness. Come see my crib. Watch how much stuff I've got. Come and peer in. And all of these reality shows. Can you please tell me, because it has annoyed me from it started, are reality shows real? I'm not hearing you. Are reality shows real? So some of you that are binging reality shows, remember I said no rashness. He didn't go to show them who he is. He went to show them how God is going to restore them. When we're rebuilding a nation, we don't need to keep up with the world. We need to keep up with the Word of God. And God will bless us regardless of who he has to use. Nehemiah says, I've got to go. And what he needed was letters of authorization. But he was going to go before the people in humility and simplicity. putting others above himself. We've got to go through this Christian journey with humility and simplicity, not putting ourselves above others. The thing that's destroying the church is too many people are so catering to, I gotta be rich like all the rich folks I see on TV. Can I tell you, the richest people are the people who are rich in Christ. I'm a millionaire because I know who my God is. I know how he provides. I know how he protects. I know how he supplies. I know how he delivers. I am so rich in Christ, in God. The wealth of the world is nothing. It's like it's the Bible says hay and stubble. But when you know who your God is and you're walking in faith in Christ, in God, all things will work together. Nehemiah was coming out of a position of earthly wealth, but now he needed to have God's favor. He says, give me letters of authorization to protect me on the journey because I'm traveling in these regions. And here's the thing. He was known as the guy who worked for the king. So if he's traveling from one nation to another, there'd be many of the king's armies that protected those territories that were taken. And they could say, what's he doing here? Why is he here? And then and bandits and all of these things. And so he knew, I need to get the required authority to travel through. And sometimes Christians, we forget to work with the system that works for the kingdom of God because we're so bought into the system of the world. God is a God of order. And that's what Nehemiah was doing. He's saying, I want to respect the authorities you have out there. So give me letters to say the king is allowing me to pass through. I don't need to go and say to them, you know who I am? You know who I am? I love this joke. It was a commercial in an airline in Africa. I think it was called, the airline was Orange. And they had this commercial. I've always remembered, I love good commercials. And here was a commercial. It was a guy that comes up to the counter. You know people who like to pontificate their status? And so the lady says, I'm sorry, sir, but the flight's full. And he goes, do you know who I am? And she got up, grabbed the loudspeaker, and she goes, folks, if anyone has lost someone, he's here and he's not sure who he is. That was such a good one. He asked, secondly, for safe passage. When you're taking care of God's business, ask God to carry you through. He did not just go and just go on his own, but he recognized there are people that are in authority at different levels. God, help me to get past the boundaries and the blocks and give me guidance to know how to take care of what is necessary so the enemy does not sabotage me. And then lastly, he asked for letters of authorization that he could go to the king's workers and get the materials that he wanted. Sometimes we go and we demand what we want rather than go and seek in wisdom and with the right authority or with the right perspective or with the right principle what is needed. He says, listen, Asaph is running the king's timber factory. And I don't want to go and say, Asaph, I work for the king, give me timber. He says, give me a letter so I can go and say, Asaph, would you please give? The king is asking. Do you see how sometimes if we respect other people's work, favor increases? He could have still gotten the timber from Asaph, but he said, let me do it wisely. Folks, if we want favor, do it wisely. Stop doing it your own way and watch how God is going to increase. And so when we work with such wisdom, it will grant us more than we could ever ask for. So Nehemiah recognized there are always pitfalls to any work that's been done for God. He only asked for the right things. I got to tell you this quick one. You know I love telling these ones. This is an old story out of New York. Old, old. I remember hearing it back in probably the late 80s or 90s, but I've milked it. Okay? I have, because it's so good. Apparently, an old lady in one of these broken down apartments, poor, couldn't pay much of her rent, couldn't buy food, and she would pray for everything. She'd pray for her rent. She'd pray for her food. She'd pray. And so apparently she was kneeled down and some two guys lived beside her and they were sick and tired of her loud praying. And so she was praying loud, God, I have no food. I need that food to show up, God. And she prayed hard and loud. So apparently the two guys got frustrated and they decided, we'll teach her something. So they went out and bought groceries and they came and they put it at her door. And then they heard her, oh God, you're such a provider. Oh God, you're so good. And she is just going off. So they came because they had a game plan and they knocked on her door and they said, oh lady, stop that nonsense you've been doing. It wasn't God who provided this. We bought the groceries and put it there. To which she answered, my God once used a donkey to talk to a man. And if he wants to use two fools beside me to bring my grocery, she says, that's his business. Folks, when we trust God, you don't know who God's going to use. But you got to see the miracle in what God is doing. Such wisdom will grant you more than you ever ask for. Nehemiah recognized that there are pitfalls to working in the kingdom of God, pitfalls to being a child of God. But when you do things right, do the essential things, ask God for the essential things, then God will give you the additional blessing. So here's the additional blessing in Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 9. And I came to the governors of the province west of the Euphrates River. I delivered the king's letter to them. Here's where it gets good. The king, I should add, what did he say? I should what? Had sent along army officers and horsemen to protect me. I asked the king not to make me look prestigious, not to let me compete with all the wealthy people out there, not to let me go to Jerusalem to show them who I am. I asked the king, give me favor. And then, king, would you release me for a season? And then would you just give me some letters so I do things right so that God, I can take care of the business God is sending me on? And it says, and the king decided, yeah, I can do all of that. But you know what? There may be somebody out there who'll still come against you. I'll add an army to go with you and horsemen. You don't even have to walk into Jerusalem. You're going to ride in as the king's escort goes with you. Is that favor? That's real favor. So folks, there are added blessings when we do things correctly, and wisdom rewards with extra blessing. So here's another powerful story in Solomon, 2 Chronicles 1:10-12. 2 Chronicles 1:10-12, Solomon asked for wisdom. If you want to go and read that, I'm going to just skip over it. But Solomon said, God, I want to bless your people, and I don't want to ask for wealth or riches or fame or even the death of my enemies. I just want to ask you for wisdom and knowledge to know how to govern and how to lead them into the future. If we want to help the next generation, stop going after just wealth and fame, which is what the world is camped on. Go after the wisdom of God so the peace and the favor of God will rest with you. And with such wisdom, you will always, God will show you the pitfalls. There are pitfalls ahead. And regardless of what you do, enemies will always arise. Bible says, as we ended there in verse 10, Sanballat the Horonite, Tobiah the Ammonite heard of my arrival. They were displeased that someone had come to help the people of Israel. The devil is always displeased if you're going to help people come out of their bondage. He's going to do something. And Sanballat and Tobiah, they're going to come up in a later chapter. I can't wait to preach, because all along your journey and my journey, we will always meet a Sanballat and a Tobiah. But God has a word to give us in the future as we continue how to deal with these ones. They come in many forms, but I want you to know, these guys didn't even see the work begin and they were displeased. The devil doesn't even want you to start. Let me tell you, he didn't even barely arrive and the enemy was upset. But I want you to know today, when you are walking in the favor of God, no matter what enemy arises, God will be there to protect you just as he protected Nehemiah. And if the devil hasn't frustrated you, I've said it before, let me say it again online. If the devil hasn't been frustrating you, if the devil hasn't been fighting you, he is very happy with you. You are best friends with him. But as long as you're a child of God, expect some opposition. So some of you, that get discouraged quickly and get mad quickly. Oh God, I give up. How many of you are not even going to churches anymore? I give up. I have problems. When my problems are better, I'll come back to worshiping God. Well, you stay out there for a long time. Your forest is going to be a long forest, because until you come back in faith, the problems just keep multiplying and the devil just keeps you in a turn. But when you know who you are and that God is with you and opposition comes, you say to yourself, I cannot quit. I will not quit. Somebody say it today. I cannot quit and I will not quit. Say it again. Oh, somebody didn't say it. Don't waste my time this morning online, in-house. Say it again. That's how we talk to the devil. We develop faith and a tenacity to overcome. And whatever the devil throws at you, don't self-destruct. Start again. Press on. Walk humbly. In faith, believe for God's favor. Some of you, the reason you compromise and fall apart, you're looking for some human to fix it for you. I wonder if the government would fix this. I wonder if my uncle, if my rich uncle would send me. Rich uncle ain't sending you nothing. No, my parents died and so-and-so took all the money. And if they just split it and give it back, we'd be okay. They ain't giving it back. They thief it already. It's done. And they've justified to themselves why it's right. So don't sit there and bury yourself. Get up. Press on. And here's what I ask you to do today. Identify your strengths and fight against your weakness. Identify your strengths. Do it today. Do it today. So here's what we're going to do. Nehemiah recognized God. I don't know what's ahead. Do you realize Nehemiah was a cupbearer, which means he's trained in that style, and I'll talk about that another time. But now he's going to rebuild a nation. So he says, God, I'm a little bit afraid here. I have some apprehension. You got to repent of your fears. Repent of your fear of failure. Repent of your fears of inadequacy. Repent of your fear of the past. Repent of your fear of the future. That's what you take a picture of. That's what you send out. And after you've repented of these things, declare your faith. Declare your faith in who God is. Declare in your faith in what God will do. What God will do. Declare your faith in God's desire to favor you because you serve Him. He doesn't want to see you fail. He desires to favor you. Sometimes you got to check, what is it that's hindering God's favor? And then develop faith to walk in His favor. See it, accept it, and rejoice in it. When you watch for God's favor, faith and favor will walk hand in hand. Faith and favor will walk hand in hand. This morning, you're going to ask God for the favor you're looking for. But you're going to clean up some things before. Go back to the one again, fear. Go back to the two slides ahead. You're going to repent. God, what are the things that I've failed you in? See, Nehemiah didn't go looking for status. Sometimes we totally won't shift our mind. I want to be wealthy, God. Give me favor. He's like, why? I know who you are, and I know what will happen to you once you do it. Look at what's this guy, P. Diddy? He's got it all. Paid off everybody for all of his sickness. Why? Because he had enough money to do it. God favored him, but he didn't know how to walk in it. Isn't that the story over and over and over again? So don't just ask God for wealth if you don't know how to contain it. If you can't bless God in little, you won't bless God in much. If you can't be righteous in little, you won't be righteous in much. If you can't be truthful and faithful in little, you won't be truthful or faithful in much. God knows your disposition. So don't ask God for the wrong things. And stop with this inadequacy. I can't do it. I failed. I'm not trying again. Oh, slap yourself and stop it. Everybody fails. Is there anybody here who never failed once? Oh, thou holy angel. We've all failed and fallen short of the glory of God. I don't live in my past. I present my future. I walk into my future. My past is where? Behind me. Do you have eyes behind you? Where is your eyes? Where are your eyes? So what do? Walk forward. So today we're going to ask God, Father, in faith, I just got to declare who you are. I got to learn to just walk in your will. I got to make sure my favor is coming from you. Here's something I want you to do. This is one, those of you that are new to the faith or young, I want you to learn this song right now. Here it goes.
Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul.
In the name of Jesus, come on, we're gonna declare in faith in a moment, but right now let's repent. God, I repent of the fear of failure. I repent of the things of the past. Online, same for you. I ask you, God, give me peace of mind to believe you. Like Nehemiah had to believe you. He had to push past the reality of what the king could do and believe in the reality of what the King of Kings will do. So God, we push past the fear right now. My God, you're the God of favor. You're the God of faithfulness. Oh God, we stand in the favor, Almighty God, today. And we say, Lord, you're going to fill our cups to overflowing. God, you said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow us. So we stand in the goodness and in the mercy of Almighty God. And we say, thank you, living Savior. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. If you accepted Christ for the first time today, we want to help you with next steps. Please email us at prayer@ppclife.ca and a pastor or volunteer will be in touch with you. We pray that you have a wonderful and safe day or night, and we'll see you soon, church family.